Welcome to the Christ Community Church podcast. This is not Kevin Allman. This is Richard White, your pastor. And we are switching roles today. I am here with Kevin Allman and Lloyd Davis. They were the two elders from our church who represented our church at our recent General Assembly of the Evangelical Presbyterian Church. It was in Sacramento. 2 weeks ago, and we're fresh back, and I wanted you to share with the congregation some of the highlights, the takeaways, anything important that we need to be aware of. Maybe begin just by saying it started Tuesday evening with a focus on the mission movement of our denomination. A lot of the missionaries from our denomination were back. We had a dinner and reports on what God is doing, especially in the Muslim world. Then Wednesday, we began with seminars. Professor Mark Knoll, Dr. Mark Knoll, who is a history professor at Notre Dame, talked about the 500th anniversary of the of Luther's posting of his 95 theses and thus the Reformation. And we also had David Kinneman, who heads up the Barna Research Group. He spoke Wednesday morning on kind of the next generation, the millennium generation, and what does it look like to lead or to bring along that leadership. And Lloyd, you maybe that's a jumping off place because Lloyd, you were speaking into that on a committee a few years ago that brought David Kinneman to us, or that helped bring him.
Richard, I don't know as if I was so much speaking into it. I was invited to chair that standing committee at the General Assembly, and it came up in that standing committee meeting that we need to focus, our denomination needs to take a focus on developing the next generation of leaders. And so there was a motion made and taken to the floor of the General Assembly 2 years ago in Orlando, Florida, and it was approved to focus a future session, a future General Assembly, on the topic of the next generation. And so the name of this General Assembly was Generation to Generation, and very much appreciate that our denomination takes quite seriously the need to raise up the next generation of leaders. And so they said then in 2 years we will do that. We just asked for a future time, and they said, let's do it as quick as we can. And The next year was already planned out for its topic, and so they had that for the topic this year. And so many of the things that were talked about there, many of the emphases were on that next generation. I've always enjoyed at these General Assembly meetings that when there's a time, when there's going to be a prayer time, they invite someone that is related to that, the topic of the General Assembly, to come and say a few words about their ministry and then have the prayer. And so this year, many of our younger teaching elders were invited to do that, including Anthony Rodriguez from Valley Hope, right here in our community, and as well as Dustin Jernigan was invited to bring that a word on that too. So we heard from some of our local folks there as well.
Just speaking to some of the highlights for you all, Kevin, how about you begin?
Well, before we get to that, I thought it might be helpful for me to just throw out sort of a snapshot of where our denomination is right now. Because one of the things that is provided right at the head of the General Assembly is the church report, and it's a statistical report of all the churches in the denomination. And it gives us just a bit of a perspective of where we are. We have 602 churches. As of the end of 2016, we had 602 churches. That's up from 576 the year prior. There were 150,042 active members. There were 1,071 professions of faith. Now, here's part of the thing with this. It's what's reported. And there were some gaps in the reports where some churches didn't get their statistics in on time. I'm proud to say that our church did. So, well done, staff.
Yeah, that's Teresa getting all that in.
So there were 1,351 youth professions of faith over the year. There were 701 adult baptisms during the past year. There were 1,502 infant baptisms. So that's just a little snapshot. We're a small denomination, relatively speaking, but we are growing. And there's concern about the future, as Lloyd was talking about, in leadership. One of the things that I did was to go to, there are sessions at the General Assembly where they provide training for people in various roles in the church. One of them that I went to was one that I'd gone to before, and it's on leadership in the church and revitalization in the church. And what I took away from that that was really important, I think, for us was the focus on the leader asked the question. He said, who should we be focusing on our effort to reach for the gospel? And somebody said, everyone. And he said, okay, now let's stop for a moment and talk about that. Do you think your church is equipped to reach everyone? Are you in a position to actually literally reach everyone? And, of course, there was a lot of mumbling, and finally everyone said, well, not really, no. And so what he went on to talk about was the need for churches to recognize who are they best equipped to reach, both geographically and in terms of what how they're equipped in their own body, who they can best reach. And then he said, you need to get focused on that.
Well, that's really applicable for just members of a congregation, our folks, you know. You know, are we responsible to reach everybody? No. God's placed us in this community, and what's your sphere of influence? That's where you start, and that's where you concentrate your prayers and your efforts of where would God open a door into the lives of people I work with, people in my neighborhood, people in my my broader community. And I think that's where we just naturally must begin. And then as a community, as a church, where's God planted us? And, you know, the reach of our community, of our fellowship into the community, and we go together in that. That's a helpful, yeah, who are we called to reach? Yeah.
So that was encouraging to me. There was a lot more to that session, and I'm grateful for that.
Lloyd, how about you? You serve on any committees this year?
Well, this year I was assigned to the theology committee. I think my first choice was the one they gave Kevin, and they don't like to give the same committee to two people from the same congregation. So I was put on the theology committee, which was the most exciting one this year, I think, because the new position paper, which is a combination of two previous position papers, and just for those of you who don't know, the denomination puts out position papers on various social issues of the day, and just as a directive for folks in our denomination to think about. They're not mandatory things. There are also pastoral papers which are more involved that they put out for the pastors. But at any rate, there used to be
just one comment. Anybody can access these. Just go on to epc.org,
yes.
And there's a pull-down menu, I'm sure, for position papers.
Yes, that's
including
right.
Including in those statistics I gave earlier.
The statistics are there. Okay. That's epc.org.
Yes. And we used to have a position paper on homosexuality and one on marriage. And a couple of years ago, the General Assembly decided that it would be good to combine those two into one more concise paper. And so for the past 2 years, there's been a committee that has been working on doing that. And they presented an earlier reading this past year, and then this year we had our final reading of that paper, and the assembly was invited to approve it. It did come out of the committee as it was presented, and at any rate, it was interesting to me that the only objections to it were that it wasn't strong enough. That there were some folks who wanted to be more tough-minded about the issues of human sexuality. This new paper is called Human Sexuality, and it does have a section in there on marriage. And the strongest opposition, though, was just that it didn't say enough. Well, I think what we're doing here is we're trying to not antagonize the LGBT community, but rather to present the truth of the gospel in a kind and caring way. And so that's the tone of this letter. It's much more acceptable that way. There was a lady who was also on the theology committee, and she testified at the General Assembly that she had a friend whose daughter was gay and wanted to marry another woman. And this lady shared the new human sexuality paper with this mother of a gay daughter, who was also she was in favor of her daughter having that opportunity. And her testimony was that this lady found that this was not offensive, and it did lay out the truth of what the Bible says about it, but it was not offensive to her. And so I thought that was a strong testimony.
But she also said she couldn't agree with it.
Oh, she didn't agree with it, but she found it to be she appreciated the way it was presented, yes.
Well, it would probably be good for me to take a moment and read the section that was adopted here, because I have this in front of me. So this is the language that was discussed and ultimately adopted. I think there was some grammar tweaks, maybe, so that might not be here, but nothing was really changed. So the heading is A Call to Holiness. We believe God has called us to live holy lives. The Christian believer's body is a temple of God's Spirit. Therefore, rather than stealing sexual privileges from one another outside of marriage, we're called to edify one another in multiple ways that we may all become more like Christ. Those who are married must avoid every temptation that would diminish the loving faithfulness they vowed in their marriage covenant. Those who are unmarried, regardless of sexual attraction, must seek to honor God through diligently avoiding temptation, restraining ungodly sexual impulses, focusing their energies on serving Christ and neighbor, and eagerly anticipating the new heavens and the new earth when all things will be restored and every godly human longing beautifully fulfilled. Those who find themselves desiring to be a person of the opposite gender face painful emotions and weighty consequences. With heartfelt sympathy and a deep desire to love and encourage them in their circumstances, we believe they must find their contentment in Christ alone, accepting His wise and gracious providence, and looking to Him for strength to glorify Him and serve his or her neighbor through the gender given at conception. It is encouraging to remember that our Lord Jesus suffered every human temptation without sinning, and that God always provides His people a way of escape from every sin. Unrepentant sinful behavior is incompatible with the confession of Jesus as Lord required of all members of the EPC. Additionally, it's required of ordained officers of the EPC that they believe, practice, and teach the moral standards contained in the scriptures and constitution of the EPC and reflected in this position paper. Those moral standards require fidelity in the covenant of marriage between one man and one woman, or chastity and singleness.
It was interesting, the floor debate on this, and it was extensive. And it kept coming back to striking a gracious tone, but also stating truth that we believe Scripture puts there for us.
One of the sessions that I attended was on gender dysphoria, what that is, what the implications are, what that experience is like for those who struggle with that. And it was led by someone who had dealt with that on different levels and both personally and in seeking to minister to others. It was really really powerful and eye-opening. But I bring that up to say that I think that's evidence that the church is seeking not to just simply say, all right, here's where we stand, that's that, but to seek to find ways to love and minister to people.
Well, any other highlights from the assembly?
Yeah, always. I've been to several of the General Assemblies, and one of the highlights is the fact that we start and finish every day with worship. And I can I think back to the first one that I went to without Mary Ann with me, and it was out in Denver, Colorado, and I was so impressed with the worship that I took out my little flip phone and dialed home, and I just said to Mary Ann quietly, listen to this, and I held it up for her to hear the worship, the singing and the praise that was going on there. So this is a tradition in our denomination, and the prayer and the worship are saturating. I mean, I think we spend as much time in prayer and worship as we do in business at these meetings, these general assemblies, and that's an impressive thing to me. And on Thursday night, that's the night that they commission the missionaries, and that's always a highlight to me. And for those of you who do not know, we have added one new question. Basically, the missionaries answer similar questions to what you answer when you join the church. But they added one new question, because we are going to places where their lives will be in danger. And they are asked, are you willing to be a martyr for the gospel? And they have to answer yes, and they do. But this time, we only had three new missionaries going into the field. But we also had a speaker that evening who was exceptional, and a graduate of Montreat Anderson College, okay. Mike Kuhn, who graduated somewhere around 1980, just after I came here. I remember having him in a small group or maybe in a class, but it was great to see him. He spoke the gospel really clearly. His message, since we do focus on missions to Muslims, his message was from Genesis 16, I believe it is, and his title was Finding Hagar. Hagar had been driven away by Sarah and was just wandering, and God sent an angel to find Hagar and bring her back. And that's the message of our efforts to win the Muslims. Find those that God has prepared and bring them into the kingdom.
He also, part of what was really powerful to me was hearing him help us to understand the plight of the many, many refugees throughout the Middle East, particularly Syrian refugees, and what those families actually look like and what life is like for them, and how important it is for us to be a part of ministering to those people and meeting them where they are.
I want to thank you for representing our church at the General Assembly, and let me pray for us. Our Father, thank you for our denomination. Thank you for men and women who do have a heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ and want to be a movement of this gospel to the nations, a movement that is equipping local churches to be effective in their communities, that Christ may be known and communities blessed in him. Father, thank you for our church. And Lord, we live in such a hard age. And Lord, help us, fill us with your spirit that we may be true to the gospel, and with the love and grace of Jesus may move toward others with the good news that, that saves and blesses and sets people free. Thank you for my brothers who and their wives who were able to attend, and thank you, Father, for the work now that we have here. And Lord, may we run in it in the joy and love and power that come from your Holy Spirit, to the glory of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.